Hello, everyone. Welcome to worship today. This is the third Sunday after Epiphany. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in today's call to worship. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The light shines in the deepest night, and the night has not overcome it. Let's pray together. Loving God, we have gathered to meet you. We have come to listen to you, to seek you, to worship you. You are the beginning of all things, the life of all things. You knew us before we were born. In you we become. In you we live. Loving God, you are here and everywhere around us and within us. You know our inmost thoughts. In you we hope. In you we live. You are the source of serenity, giving peace that is beyond our understanding. In you we are still. In you we live. Loving God, we live in you. We worship you. Loving God, you live in us. We worship you. Amen. As people of faith, we come before God's throne to confess our sins, to be made whole again. Let us pray. God of grace, you have given us Jesus, the light of the world, but we choose darkness and cling to things that hide the brightness of your love. Immersed in ourselves, we have not risen to new life. Baptize us with your Spirit, that, forgiven and renewed, we may preach your word to the nations and tell of your glory shining in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our light forever. Amen.
Let us hear these words of assurance. Assurance of grace. Be assured, people of God, when we fail, God does not. When we avoid, God seeks us out. When we forget, God calls us back. When we disengage, God builds relationship. God forgives you. God loves you. God calls you to new life again and again. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God, ever, But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day, our standing in the world as identical with Christ's. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love, love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his brother or sister, think nothing of it. He's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. This is the word of the Lord.
Today I want to introduce you to a psychology which explores the implications of what is known as gap-induced relatedness. And gap-induced relatedness is part of all the human experience. It simply means we all create the kinds of relationships which we think are appropriate by the way in which we maintain the gap between ourselves and another person. For instance, if you're alone at a bus station at midnight and you see a stranger advancing towards you, human nature is to maintain or increase the gap between the two of you if you can. In this situation, I would likely keep a wider space, a wider gap between us than I would if I bumped into my neighbor, say at Walmart. And in all relationships, one naturally widens or narrows the gap given one's perception of what is appropriate for the relationship. Theologian Walter Brueggemann gives us a theological example of gap-induced relatedness when writing about creation and God. He writes that God and God's creation, of which we are all a part of, are bound together by the powerful, gracious movement of God towards what God has created. In other words, God is constantly moving to close the gap between that which God has created. It's magnetic. It's magical. And Brueggemann tells us that this movement to close the gap is irrefutable, which is simply a $99 word for something that cannot be explained or analyzed. Irrefutable. And it is simply and wonderfully God's nature to be as close to creation as possible. And God's connection to creation cannot be explained. It is irrefutable. And the first book of the Bible announces God wills to have a faithful relationship with the earth and all of creation. We can only affirm the connection and celebrate its existence. The connection is irreversible. God has decided it. And Brueggemann boldly writes and celebrates these words, "The connection to creation cannot be nullified." And we're part of this creation, and for God, the appropriate gap in this relationship is as narrow, as close as we will allow it to be. And for God, the ideal relationship is one in which we're always striving to become one with each other and one with God. Scripture provides the narrative that tells us of the baptism of Jesus. Baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, baptized like so many in the name of repentance. I probably need to be upfront and confess that I'm a universalist. I believe all will be saved and restored to a right relationship with God. I do not believe baptism is a prerequisite for anything to do with receiving or being denied the unconditional love of God. It is not, as I was once led to believe, a prerequisite to ensure we get to go up there, heaven, and not down there, the opposite of heaven. If that was the case, I suggest Jesus would have baptized everyone he could have. I have not found a record of him baptizing anyone, not a single person. Yet Jesus was baptized. What was that all about? Might it have something to do with this psychology of gap-induced relatedness, the claim that God and God's creation are bound together by the powerful, gracious movement of God towards that which God has created? Might the baptism of Jesus be a part of God moving to close the gap between the Creator and creation, an act of solidarity? This is my Son who is sent to live among you and be like you, even in baptism, even in death. This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased, the one who comes to join you in baptism and to show you that I am part of your family. Your family with whom I am also pleased. This is my Son, a visible human sign of my gracious movement towards that which I have created. He is one of you. There's a wonderful story about a reporter who toured the USA interviewing the elderly about their earliest experiences. And the reporter met a man named Burnham Ledford, who lived in Kentucky. He was about 100 and some years old, and he remembered being a child and meeting his great-great-grandmother. "What was it like meeting her?" the reporter asked Burnham, and with a soft smile, Burnham replied, "Oh, I'll never forget that day. It was a hot, humid afternoon, and my family decided to take me over to meet my great-grandmother. It was a long trip, and I'd never met her before. To be honest, I really didn't want to go all the way over there just to meet some old woman. To make matters worse, when we finally got over to her house and went inside, I saw that she was not only old, but blind and mean-looking. So at first, I was afraid of her. My father said, 'We brought Burnham over to see you.' And she turned in my direction with outstretched arms and long, bony fingers and said, 'Bring him here.' Well, they practically had to push me across that room," said Burnham. "When I eventually got over to her, I found those same hands of which I had been so frightened were surprisingly gentle. She carefully traced the outline of my face and slowly ran her fingers through my hair and down across my shoulders. And then, in a voice so filled with love and acceptance, I heard her whisper, 'This boy's one of us. This boy's part of our family. This one belongs to us.' At creation, water splashed on the earth, and God says, 'It's good. All is under my care.' At the River Jordan, water is splashed on Jesus, a visible human sign of God's gracious, continual movement towards creation. And so, in the Christian faith, we baptize not to save folks from eternal hellfire, but rather as a visible affirmation of God's gracious movement towards creation." And Brueggemann writes that this binding, which is established by God, is inscrutable. God's connection to creation, including us, is unfathomable, not for explaining or analyzing, just affirmed and confessed. It is immeasurable, and the connection is irreversible. God has decided it. Since the time of creation, everything God has done has been to narrow the gap between God and God's creation. And since the time of creation, everything we do either draws God's kingdom closer or pushes it further away. Our rituals of baptism and communion give us, God's people, a chance to narrow the gap, to move tentatively across the room and experience the very hands of creation, hands that are surprisingly gentle. In our baptism and in the sharing of the bread and the wine, we experience the other, the one who knows us intimately and is constantly moving graciously towards us. And in our baptism and in our sharing of bread and wine, we hear a voice so filled with love and acceptance, a voice that whispers, "You are one of us. You are part of our family. You belong with us and to us." And it is then we remember that we have been chosen to be the sons and daughters of God. God has decided it. It is irreversible. And our response is not meant to be one of explanation and analysis, but rather of thanksgiving and action. A response on our part of constantly working to close the gap between ourselves and God's creation. A recognition and a celebration that each of us is gifted, called, and chosen by God. Each of us is part of the family. Each of us belongs to the other. Each is a part of God's creation, and God wants to get as close to us as we will allow. To be one in solidarity with each other and in solidarity with God, our God who willingly seeks to enter our world, our pain, our joy, our very life. And in terms of relationships, well, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Out of your love, I came to life. By your love, I am sustained. And to your love, I am always called back. Henry Nouwen. Out of your love, I came to life. By your love, I am sustained. And to your love, I am always called back. O God, whose great love we cannot comprehend, fill us now with a great sense of it, that it may overflow in praise and adoration to you and in compassion for all. This is a hard thing we ask, Lord, because we are seeing that hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, as the song says, and we are often tempted to despair. Oh, dear Lord, we pray for those grieving or in fear because of evil and violence and injustice done to them, their loved ones, their neighbors. And we dare to pray for those perpetrators of that evil, those who have decided that some lives are expendable. How can it be? How can it be? Guard us against this thinking, O God. We see disruption and destruction where we never thought we would see it. We pray for your wisdom and compassion to prevail. Call us back again and again to your love and mercy. Heal our world. Heal hardened hearts and broken ones, we pray. We thank you for our country. Guide and guard our leaders with strength, wisdom, compassion. Grant that we will be sources of encouragement and blessing even when we disagree. We pray for our Prime Minister, our Premier, our mayors, our members of parliament, our MLAs, government leaders, and councils. We look about and see your beauty and creative power everywhere. We praise you. You have entrusted it to our care. May we be faithful. I thank you, O God, for this congregation and our leaders. Thank you for Reverend Robin answering the call to come here. Thank you for the recent encouraging visit by him and Linda. Grant them peace and wisdom as they make this move. Thank you for Reverend Kelly and Keitha. Encourage and bless them, I pray. Thank you for the board. I pray your blessing and wisdom and encouragement for them too. Thank you for Adele and Fiona for their many years of faithful, loving work on behalf of all of us. Grant us all a real sense of your presence. Keep us ever following you, Lord Jesus, with a sense of calm and purpose and joy. For those among us who are grieving or ill, awaiting surgery, anxious, depressed, discouraged, we pause to remember and bring them to you, Jesus, our loving and compassionate shepherd and Lord. We pray for your healing, peace, comfort, and courage to carry on. And now we come to those words of conviction and comfort taught to us by Jesus as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again for all the ways that you participate in the ministry and work of God here at St. Stephen's through your tithes, your offerings, your time, and your talent. Please pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week. Receive our gifts, O God. May they be used to show forth to the world the greatness of your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, your perfect gift and our Savior. Amen.
Having gathered in community and worship together, let us hear these words of blessing as we prepare to leave. Feeling God's loving presence among us, let us go forth into the world, allowing our light to shine on all we meet. Go from this place knowing who you are and to whom you belong. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.